Good morning. Today is Wednesday, November the 10th, the anniversary of the forming of the U.S. Marine Corps. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor at Virginia Bass. I thought you'd appreciate that one.
Yeah, Mother of the Marine. Hoorah.
Yeah. Are you able
to... the right inflection on it.
Are you able to say that as being a mom?
Mother of the Marine? I don't know. I just know when I hear it, I know it's like from a Marine.
Right.
You know, I'll be somewhere and someone will exclaim it from the audience or crowd and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Marine's here.
Well, and actually, Mother of Marine is mom, so I guess you're a double mom. Yeah. Yeah. All right. You ready for your question this morning?
Oh, as ready as I'll ever be. I actually remember I got the last one right. I don't know why or what it was anymore, but I should have written it down.
Yeah. All right. Why do we talk about making money hand over fist?
Hand over fist. Because when you count money, you're having one hand pass over the fist that's holding your money.
Oh, I thought you had a shot at this one. Picture the hands of a fisherman as he hauls in a large net full of fish. First, one fist holds the rope while the other hand moves over it to get a new grip further down. Then that fist holds the rope while the first hand moves over to get a new grip, and so on, hand over fist.
Oh,
now picture the net full of money, and you'll see how the expression came about. You ready for us? Okay, here we go. So what were you doing in Salt Lake City last week?
Well, it was actually a little bit earlier than that, but it feels just like last week. I went to what's called the WIR, but it's Western Interstate Region, and it's part of the National Association of Counties. And I'm a co-chair of this group. It's called the RAC, which is the Rural Action Caucus. And so it's a short, 3 days of some great speakers. Usually there's some great tours of different projects. I mean, I've gone on drilling rigs. I've gone all over the place in the past. Didn't get to do any of that this time because we had a board meeting that I actually zoomed in from for 6 hours. So didn't get to do any of the tours, but... Yeah, you just go. It's nice to see people from not across the nation, but there's several that come from about 15 states. We have a lot from Minnesota, which for some reason I'd never thought about as being part of that. You know, so it was a good information. Some really cool things you learn that's happening in other states, not just other counties, but other states, and. You know, not everything has applicability, but there were some things I came back with thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great if this kind of thing could be adjusted for some of our needs in our county?
Well, spill the beans.
Well, my favorite, and I don't know if it would work in California because of maybe potentially we have too many environmental laws. I don't know, but there's a guy that used to do he had not preformed buildings. I mean, he had this process where you literally can put together buildings really quickly, but he adapted it for bridges. And you can basically put the bridge up in a day. And I'm thinking, I think of all the bridges that we have in our county that are needing help, you know, or even just is it McCann, you know, I mean, where
the
we
seasonals.
Have to put something down during the winter and that it was amazing watching it. It's like they're not necessarily prefab. I don't even know how to explain it other than it can basically be done in a day, including the culverts and everything. It's just it was mind-blowing. And, you know, I sent it over to Public Works, you know, just saying, hey, I don't know if this is anything applicable to California. But I was thinking of all those, you know, for us with all the bridges and just the repairs that need to be made or – you know, and bridges need replacing, it's not an easy fix. So this was just really intriguing of something that actually could speed that up. But again, we are California and quite different than some of the other places. But that was kind of an interesting presentation. We had a lot of conversations on public lands, because, you know, so many counties, states and counties and states are very, they've got state and local government owning lots of property. I mean, state and federal government owning lots of properties within their county. I mean, we do. Del Mar has a bigger percentage than we do even. So there was a lot of conversations, but most of that presentation was specific to Utah. I've never been to Utah, so I thought that it was also, it seemed like a cool place. I wish I could have gotten out and done some actual sightseeing.
Stomping around, yeah.
More about it.
Well, did you drive there or did you fly in?
No, I flew and then, like I said, did my board meeting from there. That's the one good thing about Zoom is, you know, if you happen to be on the road, you can still do your work. It's not quite the same when you're on the road and you're doing a 6-hour Zoom in your room, but it makes it so you don't have to get behind on work and you don't miss a meeting. And
well, you know, and it keeps the rumors down instead of doing a 6-hour Zoom meeting from the bar. I understand why you would stay in the room. I got that.
Yeah, you know, I think that'd be a little loud. Oh, that's the other thing in Salt Lake City, since you mentioned bar. You know, Salt Lake City, I really get the vision of, you know, like, no alcohol, you know, and oh my gosh, they've got some places there that, I mean, I've never seen so many bottles of whiskey in one place.
I would suspect that with the snow crowd that's there, and a lot of the Olympic training sites that the Olympians are there, that there's a lot more metropolitan flavor than perhaps what was 100 years ago or 75 years ago.
Yeah, I'm sure it's changed. It was just funny. You know, when you get somewhere and you haven't been there before and you have something in your mind of what you think, and it's like, okay, There's more than I realized.
And not quite.
I really wanted to go to the genealogy and do some research there. You know, they have that huge collection at I believe it was at the temple. But time did not allow for that.
Did you see a basketball game, though? That's one of the more critical things.
No.
Well, okay.
Didn't have enough time.
Missed out.
Well, okay. My first night I had ended up with food poisoning, too. That was another. That was, like, right after the board meeting. My first day was not my favorite adventure in Salt Lake City.
You're on such a roll. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Next time on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS-FM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, one of the things, you had said that bridges and public lands interaction were two of the things that struck you the most. Were there things that, rather than new ideas, were confirmation of ideas that either are being implemented today or that you want to try to implement that are having success in some of these other regions?
Well, you know, we also have folks there, you know, that have products, right? There are the sponsors. And there is this one specific, actually, there's one I had talked to. I can't remember this is really bad. I don't remember what they had, but I do know that he had just been in Humboldt County and he did not get to the Skywalk. And so we had a big conversation about how he needs to come back and go to the Skywalk. But another gentleman there had a product that I would really like to see us look at, but this is something where John Bartholomew as the treasurer tax collector would be the one that, you know, we have so many people, especially with the cannabis industry and the taxes and the difficulties in coming in all at once. I mean, because it's not like you can do installment payments.
Right.
But sometimes
right.
that's helpful for people to do installment payments. So you got the money, pay some and pay some. And, you know, our treasurer tax collector, he's a great guy. He says it's just not feasible for us because, you know, it's not something we have the capabilities to do. But there was a company there that actually had a program for that has been set up in other states. And I'm not sure, you know, maybe it takes extra staff. I don't know all the specifics yet, but I did come back with information from that company to try to follow up on, because I think that actually would be a benefit, even if it's not for the cannabis folks. I mean, homeowners, you know, sometimes I always remember I'd rather pay some along the way than at the very end realizing I don't have enough, right?
Right, you get drilled with the big bill. Yeah.
To me, that seems like something that's very reasonable and it's got applicability, and it's, nothing just happens.
With this particular program, is it pay partially as you go, or is it more like a Christmas club or a layaway plan where you're paying incrementally towards the next period? So you'd be actually paying in advance. In this scenario, the county would have the money in advance to be able to apply towards whatever the amount is. I mean, it kind of sounds like impounding an escrow for taxes, you know, that kind of happens, but that's not by the county, that's by an outside entity.
Well, I'll have to follow up more because, to be honest, I don't know that answer.
Yeah,
I hate saying I don't know, but I don't want to like make up a story. I know some others that would probably make up a story, but
well, it doesn't seem like it would be rocket science to make something like that happen.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, the questions are when I finally have the conversation with John, it's like, so what's our downfall? You know, not enough staff, not enough money, or maybe it'll be something that works. It's just haven't been able in the last 2 weeks ish from coming back. Just been
right.
Besides being sick, lost my voice a couple of times. I know some people really liked that.
It improves your singing.
Yeah, and I'm really good at making frog sounds too.
Yeah, yeah. I would think that something along those lines might actually help help the personnel in the department, because they wouldn't be having to put their hands on it, you know, in processing. It's just there, and it becomes another automatic, like, you know, some of us have with property taxes, or some of us have with school bonds and things that just get paid on.
One of these days, we got a few other challenges that we've been, you know, trying to deal with the county financially, like waiting for 3 years to, I don't know, we have 3 years open. We had some challenges already that, you know, we're having to deal with, but it'd be nice to finally get moving and do something on a proactive basis to bring something on board that can be helpful.
Yeah, that's always a novel concept, getting ahead of the curve there instead of getting swallowed up by it. Speaking of which, some of the edicts that have been coming out of Sacramento in the last couple of weeks, are there plans for the county to... What happens? Does the county automatically accept that stuff, or are they discussed during the meetings? Do department heads come knocking and say, hey, this is great, or this is full of baloney? I mean, how does that stuff percolate?
Which kind of things?
Oh, take your pick. I mean, you can go with the vaccine requirements. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. But any of these various things that just kind of seem to pop in and say, you are going to
I think a lot of the things that deal with employee, you know, having employees, you get more of those. You've got to do things. I remember when we used to have to, when we started to have to post, you know, the lists on, you know, in a visible place of what cleaners were on site because there were chemicals. You know, I mean, so there's some things that come out as regulations, and then there's some things that I think come out more as of the, you know, like we've had a lot of the health orders, and then I think there's some there on the suggestive thing. But, you know, I keep thinking, you know, we're seeing with we've seen back and forth of what may be happening with OSHA, you know, I mean, the federal thing.
Right.
Then we have Cal OSHA here who makes a whole different, you know, we're kind of like whatever they come up with, especially for employers, you kind of do, you know. I don't think you have a lot of leeway on that. But you know, when it comes to, you know, the like mandating of vaccinations, and I think the hardest part is, you know, what it does is it puts the local governments or local businesses to have to be the, you know, like watchdog, and you know, it's not easy to even enforce,
right.
You know, and it, there's just, I think that's the challenge of so many things that come, whether it's the state or federal, they don't come with any kind of enforcement mechanism.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:30.
Forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, you were, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the employee-related edicts and actions that the county has had to do. We've been hearing an awful lot over the last couple weeks about the requirements. If you don't do this, and you know, particularly around the vaccines, you will be released. You won't be working for our entity. Is there any thought at all that Humboldt County is going to draw a line in the sand and to do something like that, particularly in light of the fact of how difficult it is in some departments to maintain their current labor force, let alone having something else come in to make it more difficult?
Well, that was, it's interesting because that was the 6-hour meeting while I was in Salt Lake City. And, you know, I mean, there's obviously very strong feelings on, you know, I hate to say sides, but that's kind of what it boils down to in some of the conversations.
How about perspectives?
Different
perspectives.
Yeah, well, different perceptions. Like, I got my booster, and I'm glad I got my booster, you know, and I prefer being around people that are vaccinated. If I were to have my choice, I don't go asking them, but I don't go around people very often anymore. That sounds awful, but I'm just kind of going, you know, I'm just protective of myself, but I'm also conscious that I have a 94 or 5-year-old stepdad who I don't want to accidentally bring something to, because I mean, I can still get in anyway. I mean, I know being vaccinated, you can. But I can see in the workplace, I can see businesses and understand why they would do that, because, you know, remember, someone gets COVID, and it's you know, the OSHA, I mean, it's and workers' comp, and I mean, there's things that make it unpleasant for businesses. But I think it was really hard in our discussion for the county employees, at least not for the, we wouldn't do something blanket for the county, but just even the conversation with the employees, you know, there are obviously very mixed feelings. And very strong feelings on, you know, different sides, and it's hard, you know, to figure out the right thing. And you know, I did tell Billy, it's like, I don't want to see us using, how do I say it? I don't want us using our, you know, that we don't, you know, make people have vaccinations. I don't want that to be our recruitment tool. You know,
it's right, kind of like, right.
All right, that doesn't seem right either.
Well, the thing I look at with some of this is, with so much protection about individual medical records, the HIPAA laws, there's no way you can't violate that. That's the standard that's in place.
You're not asking somebody is not a violation of HIPAA. HIPAA is generally your doctor releasing information that's a violation.
Right, but if an employer is required to have that information, and the employee isn't willing to share, now what?
Yeah, but that's not a HIPAA.
Well, but nobody can release that information without the employee saying yes. And I would suggest that there's not a lot of folks that would be willing to share that. I mean, if it really is something that isn't anybody's information other than the doctor and the individual.
We're gonna have a difference of opinion on that.
That's okay. All you need is 20% of your labor pool to have the Papstein perspective, and you're sunk.
Well, yeah, but I think if you go back and look at HIPAA, it has become used very broadly now. And it's kind of become something that it was not intended when HIPAA began.
Oh, I know.
You know, so, yep. And none of us are going to argue with people that I just, like right now, we've got this whole, it's this whole anti-masking. We've been getting, it's the very same letter, long letter, with all the sort of reporting stuff. And we're getting it just mass emailed to us. What cracks me up, I didn't realize it. They don't even have my name right. I'm Supervisor Bash.
Oh, so, congratulations.
I feel like saying, hey, if you guys want to send us an email and you want to send us something like this, make sure you got our names right, at least.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe it's pronounced B-Ash.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I would just play with it.
I had a couple smart comments I was going to send back, but I didn't do that.
Throw a little gas on the fire there.
There's a lot of feelings. There's a lot of personal opinions, and it's unfortunate because it makes it difficult in the workplace, and at home, and at schools.
Right. Well, along those lines, how are the labor negotiations going? I keep hearing positive, and frankly,
hey, they're going.
In the past, there have been protests and press releases, and the labor groups are saying one thing, and the entity is saying something else. Updates all the time, and we're not hearing hardly a whisper. So it sounds like it must be doing well.
Negotiations are things that are supposed to be done and not be shared. Negotiations are like business agreements and conversations, and I just know generally it's not out there. But you'll see, we did have, I believe, HDSO. I think there were some billboards that I think were kind of not the best idea, to be honest. I don't know if they've taken those down, but I think we've been having good conversations, but we are still, also remember, we are stuck without knowing even what our balances are because 1920 hadn't officially finally been closed all the way. 2021 definitely has not been closed, and here we are, 21, halfway into 22. It won't be, we're halfway through the fiscal year, and this, it's
shooting in the dark. It's not a wise strategy, but are you able, along those lines, are you able to get any kind of an inkling of where things are financially for the county, or is it really just a big dark closet that nobody knows what's going on?
I think you kind of can extrapolate and use experience, and I'm not the financial master, right? But I used to like math and finance, but stuff I deal with now is like, oh wow, those are figures I'm just floored. When you have small company and you have little number of employees, like we had like 30 or whatever, and then go to something that's got 2,000 employees and just the whole, the dollars is quite a difference. But I think the important thing is that we're trying, we and the groups try to keep working together, keep lines of communication, but also the recognition that sometimes when they want to visit with us individually, we can't have that conversation with them. We can, get general information, or we can listen to them, but we can't have that conversation. So believe me, when it's all done, we all feel a lot better too, because at least hopefully things get set for a period of time in the future, and it's not something to repeat in a year. Right?
But things are progressing nicely.
Well, they're progressing, and I suppose it depends on what nicely is, but I think everyone is talking and being respectful. And in that respect, I, you know, without knowing all the...
That sounds a lot better. That sounds a whole lot nicer than what it has been historically over the decades, so...
Yeah, you know, but it's not done, you know?
Right, right. So. Doesn't count till it's signed. KINS, mm-hmm. News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia B. Ash. Okay, not bash, because that's kind of like short for bashful. And that one really doesn't work go. Either, does it? No.
No. Well, it depends.
Yeah. Okay. In discussing and seeing some of the items that are being kicked around now. Redistricting of the county, that's kind of now gone by the wayside, hasn't it? Aren't the boundaries going to be kind of close to the same of what they have been rather than these major shifts?
You know, there was, the first several maps that came out, while very creative, they were based on a smaller input level, right? So then people got really riled up and involved. And, you know, most of the people were saying, hey, can you just keep it the same or close to the same, it works fine. And I keep going, I kind of like back what I lost when that whole thing happened. I lost a good hunk of mine, and poor Rex had to move.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
Long ago stories. But I think, you know, what we did is Rex had said just bring one map back, but we ended up, I thought, one map, but with other options to it so people could look. But it was interesting because there was a map drawn by Supervisor Madrone that put, I think, Blue Lake and Glendale together in his district, but I didn't think his reasoning made that much sense. And then someone said, well, we could put those both over in 3rd District, and that kind of made more sense to me. And then, you know, and then Rex was like, I think that the idea is trying to keep the Rancheria together. But it was interesting because I have to be honest, it seems like if any of us drew a map, that should be one of the last ones chosen, or not
right.
chosen at all. Because if I could draw a map and, you know, swoop in a few neighborhoods I'd like to have, you know, in there.
Well,
but
it's kind of called gerrymandering, right? And there's a reason behind that historically.
But individual electeds themselves making the map.
No.
But, you know, I mean, we will have the conversation of whether it makes sense. It makes sense. It does make sense to put them together, but what does that look like?
Exactly.
You know, and so that ended up being. But yeah, people right, you know, prior to the first hearing with us, were going crazy. Not crazy. That doesn't sound good. They were really panicky. I mean, I was getting, things saying you can't change it. I want Nellie Arroyo to be able to run and say, hey, I don't want to redistrict anybody out. I saw what happened to Rex.
Right. Right, yeah.
You know,
and that's one of the reasons why you do have public citizen input, is so that you do, you know, you get various concepts. For me, I thought it was interesting that it wasn't the elections department.
Yeah. Well, in elections, when that happened, you know, well, California, you know, there was that new law. And I think it was confusing for people, too, because there was so much emphasis put on the communities of interest.
Yes.
And that was good. I mean, it was a good concept, good idea, but it really made it a very confusing situation when it comes to try to communicate that. And people are seeing these other maps come out. And I think if the state had just let us do the process, like, you know, without them, I mean, because they made all these requirements. You have to do this. You have to have this many hearings. You have to have this consultant, you know, or whatever. And it was costly. And I don't think it really got us. I mean, it got input, and that's good. But I think what the input was basically is don't do anything drastic.
Finesse it.
Easier. Yeah.
Just finesse it. Kind of like we've done this show. Hey, thanks for coming by almost.
Don't do anything drastic, yeah.
Yeah. Get well, and we'll see you next time, okay?
Okay, I hope so. I'm tired of the Humboldt crud.
Yeah. Not tired of Humboldt. Humboldt crud.
No, love Humboldt.
There you go. Thanks for coming by.
All right.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.